Hi there, this is Harry and welcome to the podcast where I try to help you to get a better understanding of the English language so that you can communicate in a better way. And we do that by looking at grammar, idioms, phrasal verbs, expressions, collocations, every aspect of English. And in this particular podcast, actually, we're going to take a look at some idioms. And the idioms that we have for you now are in relation to idioms connected with learning and thinking. So I'll give you a list of the idioms that I'm going to use, then I'll give you a meaning and we'll try to put them into a little example for you. So, to go to your head, have your wits about you, in the dark about something, not have a leg to stand on, not see the wood for the trees, put two and two together, quick or slow on the uptake, ring a bell, and finally split hairs. So what do these all mean as idioms? Well, to go to your head. This is when success goes to your head. It makes you think that you are better or more important than you really are. So we can use it in a positive or a negative way. When you have an amazing year, perhaps in sales, and you get a big bonus, somebody might say to you, well, look, don't let your success go to your head. Next year you start with a blank bit of paper and you have to start all over again. So don't let the success go to your head. In other words, don't get too big-headed. Don't get too complacent. You might not be so successful next time. Yeah, or somebody might say, I wonder, will that promotion go to his head? Will he start thinking that he is above all of us? It's only a few weeks ago that he joined the company and he's been promoted already. So I hope the success doesn't go to his head. Have your wits about you. Well, when we use this idiom, to have your wits about you means you have to be able to think quickly, to think on your feet and make sensible decisions, but also be careful when you're in a meeting because there might be a few people around the table that you have to be careful about because they might be a little bit devious, okay? So you have to have your wits about you. So your boss might say to you, look, you're looking after this big account. When you go there, they'll be all nice to you and there'll be all lots of shaking of hands, but just have your wits about you. Listen carefully to what they're saying because they can be tricky. Okay, write down everything that you hear, make some very correct notes, and make sure you send that note back to them to say this is what was agreed, because they have a habit of reading things a little bit differently. So make sure you have your wits about you. Okay, so to have your wits about you, to be able to think quickly, to watch out and make sure that nobody tries, as we say in English, to pull the wool over your eyes. Nobody tries to fool you. Okay, so to have your wits about you. Next, when you're in the dark about something. Okay, so when we're in the dark about something, it means that we don't know very much about something, or we have been kept in the dark deliberately. They haven't told you what's happening, as other people perhaps are keeping it secret or keeping you out of the loop. You're not included in emails or something. Okay, so you've been away on holidays for a couple of weeks, and when you come back, somebody in the office asks you, what's the story about that particular account? You say, oh, I'm completely in the dark about that. I wasn't CC'd on the emails. I'm only just back from holidays. You'll have to ask somebody else. I'm completely in the dark. Like mushrooms, they're always in the dark. Or supposed to be, yeah? So in the dark about something, not knowing much about what is happening. Next, not to have a leg to stand on. Okay, when we don't have a leg to stand on, literally, it means we can't stand up. So when we don't have a leg to stand on, it means you have no way of proving whether you are right about something. Okay, so you've no evidence and you're left in a little bit uneasy and in a very vulnerable position. Okay, so if some particular account has gone badly wrong in the business, we don't have any notes. We didn't keep any copies of the emails. We can't find them. Apparently, they've been deleted. So we can't prove whether what the client is saying is true or false. So we just have to accept what they say because we don't have a leg to stand on. We didn't copy or send out the statement, and therefore the fees that we charged the customer, we cannot stand over. So we'll have to reduce the fees and find some solution. So we don't have a leg to stand on. So we're in a very precarious or difficult position. Okay, so if you don't have a leg to stand on, what happens? You fall over. Boom. Okay, so when you don't have a leg to stand on, you have to be really careful that you've got something to support you. Yeah, okay, good lesson. All right, next, not to see or not to be able to see the wood for the trees. Okay, not to be able to see the wood for the trees. When we use this saying, it's when someone cannot understand what is important in a particular situation and what is less important. Okay, so when somebody is thinking in too much detail, they forget about the more important aspects, and we say they can't see the wood for the trees, meaning they've got their thinking all wrong, they're not thinking clearly, and they need to step back a bit and reconsider everything. So if you're in a bit of a panic and you're not sure what to do, and you keep coming up with the wrong solution, your boss might say, hold on, you can't see the wood for the trees. The answer is there in front of you. This is what we agreed with the customer. This is what he's looking at. So that's just what we present to him. So don't make it more complicated than it should be. Okay, just keep it simple. Yeah, and everything will work out fine. So you have to make sure you can see the wood for the trees, meant to be able to distinguish things clearly. Next, to put two and two together. Well, when we use this expression, to put two and two together, it usually means that somebody puts two and two together and comes up with six. It means they either exaggerate it or they get things completely wrong. Okay, so to put two and two together might mean that you've heard something, or you've heard a whisper, and you know what's going to happen. Yeah, okay, so you haven't been told yet, but you're able to put two and two together when you hear the rumors, so you know what's happening. So perhaps you've heard a rumor that your client is going to leave and go to another company. They haven't told you yet, but a few little whispers have come your way, or the last meeting you had with the client, they didn't want to set up another meeting just yet, which is a bit unusual because you usually have a weekly meeting with them, but they wanted to postpone it for a few weeks. So the actions of the client would suggest to you that something isn't right. So you can put two and two together and you come up with what you think is the answer. So you tell your boss, I think we're going to lose that account. So, and he asks you why, and you say, well, they haven't told me directly, but this is what happened this morning. We haven't set the next meeting, which is very unusual for them. And if you put two and two together, it seems to me that they might be getting ready to leave. I think we need to do something about it. Okay. But when somebody gets the wrong end of the stick, they sometimes put two and two together and come up with six, when in fact, of course, the answer should be four. So when we say somebody puts two and two together and comes up with six, it means they've got it all wrong. Perhaps they didn't set the meeting because they were going on holidays, and therefore you've jumped to conclusions and they're quite happy with your service, and perhaps they won't leave after all. So you have to make sure that you understand exactly what the message is. Okay, so to put two and two together. Normally two and two makes four, but sometimes when we over exaggerate something, two and two might appear to be six and we get everything wrong. Okay, and then next, quick or slow on the uptake. So when somebody is quick on the uptake, they're very smart, yeah, and it doesn't take them long to figure things out. And when somebody is slow on the uptake, it's the opposite. It means you have to explain something to them time and time again. You say, oh my God, this guy, he's so slow on the uptake. I must have explained that to him four times, and he still comes back and asks me again, What is that? How do you do that? Okay. But when somebody is quick on the uptake, wow, that young guy is smart. He got that immediately. I just told him once and I didn't have to tell him again. And now he's running the system perfectly. He's very quick on the uptake. He'll go far. So quick on the uptake or slow on the uptake. To ring a bell. Well, when something rings a bell, ding, 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 ding. Yeah. When something rings a bell, it means that something sounds familiar, either a name or something that in the back of your mind suggests that you've heard this before or you know something relating to it. So you see a name on a memo or an email, you go, that name rings a bell. I've come across that person before. I know, I met him 2 years ago on that conference, yeah? So his name rings a bell. Or if somebody suggests that there's something wrong or something happening and you say, that sounds familiar, that seems to ring a bell, I must have heard that or read it somewhere before, and you go back through your notes and yes, there it was, somebody raised the issue in a previous management or marketing meeting and you have the facts there on an old email. Okay, so when something rings a bell, it sounds familiar to you, although you may not be able to remember the exact details, but when you do go and look for some more information, hey presto, there it is, yeah? There's another song, Ring My Bell, Ring My Bell, Ring My Bell, Ring My Bell, yeah? So, ring a bell. Okay, and the last one, split hairs, okay? So when we split hairs, we argue or worry about small details or small differences that are not really so important. So we often say to somebody, look, let's not split hairs on this. It's too small to be bothered about. No point arguing. Let's just accept the facts. There's no point splitting hairs. It's something very, very fine. I mean, it's very hard to split a hair anyway. So it's almost impossible. So when we split hairs, we end up arguing or worrying about small details or small differences that are not really so important. When a brother and sister or two brothers are arguing, you just say to them, look, there's no point splitting hairs over this. Just agree that you'll share this laptop until we can save up and buy you another one, okay? So no point splitting hairs. Okay, so there are idioms, okay, to go to your head, to have your wits about you, to be in the dark about something, not to have a leg to stand on, not to be able to see the wood for the trees, to put two and two together, to be quick or slow on the uptake, to ring a bell, and to split hairs. Okay, so that's the end of this particular podcast. And as always, if you want to contact me, then you can do so on www.englishlessonviaskype.com. And as I always say, I'm happy to hear from you and happy for you to give me some suggestions that I can include in future podcasts. So as always, thanks for listening and join me again soon.